So we are going to continue in the vein of the Shem Yichud. Last week we began discussing the Shem Yichud controversy, where the Noida Yehuda wrote very sharply against this Kabbalistic rite being introduced to the world. They managed until now without it, and the Noida Yehuda wrote very sharply against the recitation of the Shem Yichud. The Ber Maim Chaim, Sidur Shel Shabbos, in his Sefer Shar HaTfilah, has a lengthy, oft-quoted tshuva, and we are on Shin Tzadikei in this print, and it's Simen Zayin. Aladav Asher Kosav Shom, and about that which you wrote, Shetovim Hayu Adair Shelefnez Ma'aneinu Shelyadim Izeh, the fact that earlier generations who were far greater than us did fine without this. Despite the fact that they were toiled all their days in Torah, so they were far superior. Ad Kan, for the quote from the Noda Yehuda, Koira Ani Al Zeh, I say about this, writes the Ber Maim Chaim, Al Toimer, quoting the Pasuk in Kehelis, Al Toimer, don't say Shahayomim Harishonim Hayotayim Miela, that earlier days were better than now. As Shlomo HaMelech says, Kilei Mechachma Shalta Zeh, this is not coming from wisdom. Whoa, this is, them are biting words. Because this issue was already gone through in a very seichodik way, clarity after clarity, and it was sieved through 13 sieves. That the main objective in all of observance of Torah and mitzvahs, hem teichin upnimiyusan, are their inner meanings, v'haruchni yishabahem, and the spirituality that's in them, and throwing in the words that are going to be critical to this message, mishmoysav shalakadosh baruch hu hanalamim bahem. Because in each and every mitzvah are contained Shemus HaKadoshim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are contained in the performance of that mitzvah and in the Torah that we're learning. V'chol HaSvarim Sifrei Kodesh Meleim Izen, I don't need to tell you, because all of the Svarim HaKadoshim are full of this. U'Bereisham HaGoyin HaMuvik B'Lashlo HaKadosh, especially in the works of the Shalah. She'erichu B'rayis Mivurareis, who go on with absolute clear proofs. She'chiluk U'merchek Rav, that there is a distance of tremendous distance. Lahagdil L'mayla Adein Shir Ben Alemet Atayr Mekayim Mitzviseh B'Pshutein Labat, that there's a huge, vast valley between people who learn Torah and perform mitzvahs just on the simplest of level, or the people who go looking for the Shemus HaKadoshim and the spiritual, deeper spiritual meaning contained in the mitzvahs. Next page. Shin Tzadik Vav. Now, he veers off topic for a moment. Aside from all the praises that I just heaped upon those who look for the deeper meanings, just on the simplest level, forget about what it does to the mitzvah, but we'll look at what it does. A person who delves into the deeper meanings, the person is infused with greater love and greater awe. Is that not the goal of why we do Torah and mitzvahs? That which we started today, this week, Mishnah Torah, we're starting Sefer Dvarim. Isn't that what it's all about? The word Dveikus is mentioned who knows how many times on the Ahava, the Yira, and so on. So if all of this is going to bring a person to Ahava and Yira, then that itself is a goal unto itself. Forget about what it does to any particular mitzvah. V'omnom. And now he takes on the world. V'omnom called Vareim Yusodom Yusod Gadol. All of the words mentioned by the Shelah and the other Svarim that talk about that there has got to be a deeper meaning, they are all built on one fundamental foundation. Reb Shimon bar Yochai, Shalei Niglu Kol Tolo Mes Chachma, to whom it was revealed all the secrets of wisdom. Vahu Miganem Ma'oid, and he is revolted by, he's disgusted by, L'mishein Noisin Liboy Lilmed Pnimiyas HaTorah, to people who do not attempt to learn the secret areas of Torah. Kashi Yucha L'Shar B'Nafshe, and I'm not saying that everybody here has to become, he says, a professional Kabbalist, but to the degree that a person can handle it, b'dechilu v'rechima d'mare, with love and awe of their Creator. What's more, Reb Shimon bar Yochai writes, u'shekol ikar geula seinu p'tus nafshenu tolu b'zeh, we need to know that the geula shleima is dependent upon this. Upon what? Upon learning Sisrei Torah, upon learning Kabbalah. And he brings here three rayas from the Zohar. We could learn them, but I want to get to some of the other things. But he quotes, let's just go to the third one. The third paragraph. Valda ha'sipura d'araisa. You got it? The third paragraph down. These stories of the Torah, levusha de'araisa ihu, they are but garments to the true Torah. Man dechoshev, and anybody who thinks, dehai levusha i'araisa mamish, that these stories, or for that matter, the clothing of the mitzvahs, are the real Torah, v'loy mila achra, and if there's nothing deeper going on, tipach rucha, he should rot. Ubegin keinam David, and this is what David HaMelech says, Gal einai, reveal my eyes ve'abita neflois mitoresach, so that I could see the wonders of your Torah. Ma detchois levusha da deraisa, that which is beneath the surface of this Torah.
Where does he write this?
He writes in, he brings it here, it's in Balaischa. This is just a continuation of the other one.
Zohar.
Yeah, these are both quotes directly from the Zohar. And the next one, he remembers the exact same thing. A person who just looks at the levushim and doesn't look underneath it, which is the ikr, the neshama of Torah, and so on. Okay, so go to the next page. Shin Tzadik Zayin. Ukidvarim ha'ela, and similar to the words of the Zohar, by big surprise coming now, mevayar b'divar v'kadashim la'alafim revavis ein mispar, which are explained in the Zohar thousands of times. Ayin alayim tim tzayim. Look through the Zohar, you're going to find them. Umaran kodesh kadoshim rav arizal. Kosav zel shayna the arizal writes. We now Torah atzma yesh laguf v'nefesh. Torah itself has a body and a soul. Haguf, b'inyan halavush aniska b'divar chazal. We find this very same terminology throughout Chazal called gufei ha-Torah, the bodies of Torah. But in addition to those halachos, yeshla pnimiyas haTorah, she aneshama, there's the inner, deeper meaning of Torah, which is the soul of Torah. And now he explains with this so magnificently. We know the famous Gemara that the Malachim argued with Moshe Rabbeinu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give your Torah down to humans. Tanoit chal shamayim, give, place your splendor, leave it in heaven. What in the world are the angels going to do with a physical Torah? Says the Arizal, v'zeh amrei t'noheit chal ha-shamayim. This is what the angels were saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should place his splendor in the heavens. Ki lama lahem ha-Torah, what would they possibly need a Torah for? Geminem le'kinev le'sina, they have no jealousy, they have no hatred. V'le'shayich bahu le'sir tzachu k'dayma, it's not possible for them to have the prohibition of Leisirtzach. V'loi shalu el ala pnimius. All they were looking for is the pnimius of Torah. The angels wanted the real Torah. What's the real Torah? That which is behind the Leisirtzach. That which is behind the not hating and so on. Shleinislab shehi beguv zeh ubedinu neilu li'olam. They wanted it before it ever came into that form that was applicable to the physical world. Because as it exists above, there's no need for it to take on that
but
form.
But it's still above too, even when it's below?
The sister is still...
Meaning, why can't they also have it? Okay, it's a different issue. But the bottom line is that it's what's proven from what the angels claimed is that there is a Torah which is not about sin, and it's not about murder. Right? You could argue the same thing about the neshama of man also stays above. Just like the neshama of a person needed to come into a physical body in this world, so too the Torah also has to take on a physical form in this world. But it doesn't take away from the Pnimius HaTorah. That exists just as well. So now, you could argue that that's only true about the wisdom of Torah. Right there, there's a neshama regof, says the Bermayim Chaim, quoting the Arizal. V'chein ha-mitzvah yesh lagof. The same thing applies to mitzvahs. Da'ayinu b'chines ha-maisah. What's the goof of a mitzvah? The action. V'yesh neshama, but there's also a soul. What's the soul of a mitzvah? Da'ayinu ha-kavona. The intent. That effort that a person puts into it to do it correctly. When we do mitzvahs without the required intent, it ends up being like a body that lacks a soul. This is what the pasuk says. Kol ha-mitzvah shanechi mitzavcha yom tishmor. I want you to keep the entirety of the mitzvah. Dainu kol ha-mitzvah b'shleimus. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us is that our performance of the mitzvah be done with a shleimus, with a wholesomeness. Ima kavona v'achiyu shalom. With the intent and the life source. Why? Says the pasuk, l'man tichyu. So that it will be alive. Shetia mida keneged mida, kamoi shasisa mitzvim chiyusa. Just like you're performing a mitzvah with its life force, ken yesh balechal ba'olam hazeh ba'olam habo. So too, it will be able to sustain you in this world and in the next. Ad kan. Simen ches. We wrote elsewhere about this. That when we perform mitzvahs robotically, without attention, what's the point? It's just a body. Let's put this in the form of a human. Shagoylam levad, you know what a goylam is, right? A goylam is in a body without a neshama, right? We've all read about goylams. Shagov built ichius an neshama. That's like a body without a neshama. Shabikib hareyumeis umurach kevin daimim alaretz. It's a dead being. Kain hamitzvah zu menachas be'eretz alazu. Mitzvahs done without intent remain here below v'leipachis la'ela, and they don't have the koyach to be elevated upward. Now, in addition to that, Ukvar Kasavnu, I also wrote, Shebchinas Chiyus HaNeshama Shebetoiru Mitzvahs Einarech Aleim. We need to understand that the level of Chiyus cannot be measured. Ve'ein Shtei Yadayim Zeiches Ka'achas Lahabit Elachiyus Shalahem B'Shava. No two people will have identical mitzvahs, and no two mitzvah performances of any one of us will ever be the same. So our hanachas tefillin, and one day, will never be the same level as the day before. And any mitzvah, we're always going to have a different intent and a different level of intensity. Ki aloi, because after all, reishis chiyus ha-machshava shabahem, the beginning, their introduction to the Chiyas HaMachshava, Hu Ahava V'Yira Mitis, is the very source of the awe and the love Shema'ira Adam B'Libay Terma Sais Mitzvahis of Nei Adayin Kol Baruch Hu. It's the love and the awe that existed before the person ever performed the mitzvah. Umish yesh le'lev maskil lahavin bigdoyle gdoyle said the Kenyus Bokshamayim. And this explains a whole you really get a glimpse over here in this paragraph into the Chabad philosophy of why it's important to know anything about godliness. Why do they so obsess with the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the greatness of the Bria and the Malachim and the Seder Shtal Shalis and all that kind of stuff? Because if we don't know anything about the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we'll never appreciate who we're doing the mitzvahs for. If it's all about Schar and Einish, if it's all about the obsession with the reward and the punishment, and it's not about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Ahav and Yira don't come into the picture. The only Ahav and Yira that come into the picture are Ahav and Yira of me. I'm doing it so that I can get reward. I'm doing it so that I don't get punished, right? Whereas if we spend some time learning about who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, then we have a different appreciation and a different motivation for why we're doing it in the first place. That's what he's saying here now. A person who has any understanding, a heart to understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if before we go do a mitzvah, and according to the person's yearning and his thirst, to get into the depth of why and what we're doing. Again, focusing, he keeps on throwing this in. The shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are contained in the mitzvah. This is, the Ramban writes that all of Torah is shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of Torah is the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was saying it about mitzvahs as well. To the degree that a person has cleansed their neshama from the averes that they've done, that's another form of preparation. And to the degree that a person was able to cleanse themselves externally from all physical forms of passion and desire that we're all used to ever since we've been babies. Then forget about the great secrets and the Sisrei Kabbalah and any spooky, what they call here, the what do they call it? They have a name for it. I'm slipping my mind. But the spooky holy stuff. Without any of that stuff. Use your own parable. Let's say we were standing. Again, this mashal is almost worthless today because the institution doesn't exist anymore of what a melech is. But once upon a time, there used to be kings, right? So if we were standing before a king, I had this. The closest mashal I had was when I used to service the Baba Veruv, right? So when he would ask me to bring him something, there was no luckier person in the world, right? So if he would ask me to do something, pass me the salt, please. Can you imagine the desire, the love, that would be engulfed, the person would be contained, I'm able to service such a person, that I'm able to service the king? After we have the experience once where this amazing person asked me to do something for them once, it creates even greater desire for the next time. Can you imagine if they would ask me to do something else for them? When that moment will come, when he will give it to him, when he will ask him to do it, he'll like a lion, he'll jump up. He'll run faster than his own abilities can even normally carry him. With a tremendous alacrity and a joy. If somebody were to ask him on the way, how are you doing? Are you crazy? I'm not going to answer you. I'm on the way to fulfill the command of the king. Somebody's going to speak to him. He's not even going to hear him. He's not even going to hear him. It's not going to be rude. His mom is not going to hear him. Julius used to say this about my father. The rabbi's not ignoring you. The rabbi's talking to God. He doesn't hear you. Ki hu v'chol koyche gufayim echshavte, because he, the person that's running to do the will of the king, and all of his efforts, his body, his thoughts, v'chol yevarim, and all of his limbs, v'gidam and his sinews, mitzumadim, they're all gathered together, v'chushokim, and they're all bound, ukshurim b'achemda azah b'yaris kirish b'yesh, they're on fire, lahavi l'melech, hasashet tzaviyah, to bring the king, what he asked him for. And not only that, but he's standing at the door waiting, lest the king might ask him to do something. He doesn't wait around for the king to ask him. He wants to be there so that he'll be there for the minute, 1 minute earlier than the king asked him. Wait, we're not done yet. This is so Ber Maim Chaim Dick. It's incredible. And then, when he finally brings it to the king, can you imagine the guy's going to walk in and throw it on the table? The king asks you to bring him a tea. Here! Right? Kim Yavayatzle is going to walk in. He's going to stand there in fright, with a sense of shame, with a sense of humility, with love and joy. And he's going to put it down in front of him with a tremble and with a fear and with an incredible rada, and together with that fear, there's going to be at the same moment, a tremendous joy. That's the critical word, the privilege that the king asked him to do this. And I was able to do it. And he takes delight in the fact that he was able to do something at vas that the king can have some pleasure. Now, this would be true if it was bring me a tissue, right? What about something? What about something that only I can do for the king? A special thing that only I have the ability to do. And the king really yearns for it. Let's say I know how to cook or bake something, to make something really good. The king doesn't have access to. And I know the king wants it. And for some reason, the king this time doesn't want to use his normal staff. He doesn't want to use the in-house chef. Or maybe they just don't know how to make a good apple strudel. And he's a simple guy. He knows that the king really liked the strudel. When he comes before the king says to Mankint, Aseli nachasru, do me a favor. Do me this pleasure. Bring me this to give me pleasure. Because I really want this now. He says, can you imagine something like that? How much this person would yearn. How much of a geschmack the person would run to do this. Over mountains and valleys. Over stones and bare and boulders. And even if he were to strike his leg, he wouldn't feel anything. And rain or snow would not prevent him to be able to literally, even with his life, to attain this. To bring it before the king. With fear, with, it's a better word than shame. Blushing, maybe. Humility. In his heart, he would be swelling with love, with joy. That he had the privilege to serve the king. Shin tzadik tes. V'anim shel muvim yelam. He says, any thinking person understands the lesson by themselves. For the King of Kings, he's always standing there, seeing everything we do. V'mitzava lo adam, and he commands us b'ahava, with love, v'b'chiba g'daylev, you say it with tremendous treasure, b'ni, my child, asay mitzvahs, please perform for me mitzvahs, shi'yeh li l'rotzayin l'nachas ruach, because for me it is something that I have pleasure in, kashatasa mitzvaysa, when you perform my mitzvahs, midvarim ha'elu shalmata. And interesting, the pshat that he's going to give now is far more about mitzvahs maisius than it is about limud ha'Torah. I would love for you to perform a mitzvah with something down there. Give my mitzvahs ha'tfilin. Let's take, since we have a guy who just started putting on tefillin, so that's why he uses this mashal. Like the mitzvah of tefillin, Hanasin me'ara behema, that's made out of a piece of leather of an animal, shukidu the karka, which grows off of the ground, referring to what the animal eats. A mitzvah tzitzis, hanasin mitzamer achedim. What about the mitzvah of tzitzis that's made out of the wool from sheep? A netilis lulav, uminav, hagedelim alamayim. They grow on water. Vadoimalem, or any other physical mitzvah. So why would the Ribbono Shel Olam ask us humans to do this? Ki mishar se'al yoinim, because his servants above, malachei mala, the angels there, einam makirim b'dvarim eila, they are very shvachim mevinim on leather. Kein b'shamei al shamayim al yoinim, because they're up there in heaven. Vanachnu sheichne b'techoimer, it is we who are living in the physical realm. We are the ones who know these things that grow, and he uses this term specifically of these things that generate all kinds of taivas. Ushma Yizbarach Misaven, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a particular desire, and again, this is based on the Chazal, that Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Misave, he has a desire to have a Dira B'tachtonim. This is a takeoff on the Medrash Tanchuma. And the Baal Tanya in the Likutei Torah writes, why? He says, Avataiva kemen kankasha nishregin. That's what Tzemach Tzedek repeated from his grandfather. You can't ask why somebody likes something.
It's super rational.
Right, it's super rational. Why do I like salty things over sweet things? Because there's no rational to it. So Hashem Yisbach Misave, the Rebbeinu Shleim desires Shenase Mitzvah, so that we should fulfill His mitzvahs. Bidvarim Ha'elu, with these things, Bichdei Shetimale Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. Now, look what he says here. What's the tachlis? So that the physical world, every time we perform a mitzvah, utilizing a physical object, we are filling the world with Hashem's presence. That's the tachlis here. V'yeda kalpo, and every creation should know kihu payaloi, that he is the one who created him. V'yavin kol yitzir kihu yitzray, and everything that was formed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu will end up knowing that he formed him, because we are in some way utilizing it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That means the world didn't exist, that his honor wouldn't fill it?
That, I think he's saying that that's one of the main purposes of the Bria, of this physical world.
Because his honor would fill the world no matter what.
Without a world?
No, without the world. Without, let's say, all his...
That's part of the same taiva. I mean, that goes back to that... You're right, but... Adoin Olam Hashem Malach, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. He was a melech, but it's only Leis Nasa B'chef Tzukar, as I'm melech, Shemay Nikra, that Adoin Olam asks and answers your question. Why? Ve'veist. But it explains why us and not them. Why humans? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has much purity. He's got angels galore. What does he need us for? So, to go back and address that a little bit, again, the Baal Tanya Likutei Torah, and the Kedushas Levi says this in his Kedushas Levi, Sefer happens to be named Kedushas Levi. So he says that a melech paid top dollar for a parrot that speaks. So one of his Grezi Kep said to him, Adeni HaMelech, if you want somebody that speaks, we have some women. They know how to speak great. What do you need to go pay $100,000 for a bird? So the Melech says to him, a human that can speak is kankinsnisht. A bird that can speak is a chiddish. Rebbe Shem says the same thing about Malachim. I have plenty of angels. A human that wants to serve me, that's willing to serve me, that's a chiddush. That's what he's talking about. V'zeu tainug lefonu v'nachas ruach. Rashi says this. What's taich nachas ruach? Rashi says, she'omarti v'nasir tzoyni, that I spoke to a human and the human listened to me. That's a chiddush. Most humans, if anybody should have checked recently, are not running to do the Ratzon Hashem. And this is a Nachas Ruach. Halvoi, but if we think about it in these terms, and the more we know about the king, the greater is going to be the chiddush of the fact that little me is able to do something to give the Melech Malchei Hamlochim a pleasure, right? Is a kol koichi aguf and nishmosi asher bekiyum kol mitzi dam nafsh enim kadoim niskaim klal regechot. My entire life wouldn't be worth it even for one moment. Rak lirdav kikoyer kaharim lasis mitzus halalu bekolayis nevesh mamish. And again, this goes back to we have to remember every time we do a mitzvah, if this is a great frame to frame our minds every time we do any mitzvah, and that is, my entire life, with all of its misery and pain and difficulties, would be worth it just for this one moment. And then we ought to think about whether this mitzvah performance reflects a mitzvah that would be worth our whole life for this one moment. But the truth is absolutely true, that it would be worth a person to be in the world for 100 years to be able to have the privilege once to serve the king.
According to that what you were saying before about us doing this is that we make it that his honor fills the world, then according to that, you read us the day, it's just technically up to us. Because as long as we choose to keep doing this, as long as all of us are doing this.
Good. So he's addressing that head on. Meaning, that's what he addressed it on. He said, Kifi kecheinu. Anybody who walks around now thinking he's going to do a mitzvah like the Arizal did a mitzvah, needs a serious doctor. Right? But doing the best we can do...
But if we're doing the best we can do, why did it change?
There we have the whole gestalt. You have the whole structure of neshamas. You have mitzvahs, people who are able to do them with tremendous kavanas, and then there's a separate delight. In this regard, who's greater? Why?
Because it's
Igvei Mashiach,
since we're...
So therefore, he's going to say that. Our mitzvahs in a certain way are greater, because the lower we go, the greater chiddush there is in the fact that we can do it.
Okay.